That's the last time you ever make me look bad in front of those kids. Do you hear me? I make $31,000 a year, and I've got a home, and I'm not about to throw it away on some punk like you. But someday, man, someday, when you're out of here and you've forgotten all about this place, and they've forgotten all about you, and you're wrapped up in your own pathetic life, I'm gonna be there. That's right. And I'm gonna kick the living shit out of you, man. I'm gonna knock your dick in the dirt.
You threatening me?
What are you gonna do about it? You think anybody's gonna believe you? You think anybody is gonna take your word over mine? I'm a man of respect around here. They love me around here. I'm a swell guy. You're a lying sack of shit, and everybody knows it. Oh, you're a tough guy. Hey, hey, come on, come on. Get on your feet, pal. Let's find out how tough you are. I wanna know right now how tough you are. Come on, I'll give you the first punch. Let's go. Come on, right here. Just take the first shot. Please, I'm begging you. Take a shot right here. Come on. Just take one shot. That's all I need. Just one swing. That's what I thought. You're a gutless turd.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damon waving at the mic, which plays well on audio. Waving at the fans inside the microphone.
And we are officially drinking beer once again.
Yes. Once again.
The last podcast was a sad, sad day.
Yes.
There was no liquor.
No, there was wine.
Oh, there was wine.
Yes,
that's true.
You guys were drinking
that's
wine.
That's true. Shit. That's probably why I forgot.
Okay, so as always, since we've been doing for a while, we're starting out the podcast with a question. And for those of you who don't get what this is about, I'm going to explain it to you one more time, right? How it works is before every segment, other than the review, we're going to start out with a question. And whoever answers with the best answer gets a point.
Why are we answering questions then?
Because I told you to.
Can I help the fans?
Right?
We want to help the kids.
Yeah. Informative.
Right. And towards the end of the podcast, I'll have a few extra questions, and whoever wins the game gets to tell the outro. Damon's yet to win. I think that's on purpose.
Pretty much.
Anyways, let's start out with a question, and this comes from guest Marco, and his question is top most amazing films.
Top most amazing films?
That's what he has here. Top most amazing films, question mark. Damien.
Top most amazing films. Is most amazing films a genre? Or is top most the genre? I'm not clear on this.
Isn't top most a word? I think it's a word, don't?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I don't remember what it means.
I think they're asking for the most amazing films that have the word top in it.
Well, alright, Top Gun.
Top Secret.
I think that's pretty much it. I think we're done. Top Gun and Top Secret.
There's
A View from the Top. No, because that movie's terrible.
Damien wins this one already. He mentioned Top Gun. That's oh, a okay. Default. That's a default. Top Secret is awesome, but Top Gun is amazing. And moving on, because we must detract from that horrible attempt. Into what we watch this week.
We love these questions.
So this week, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the trailer for Footloose came out. The new movie that's coming out later this year, remake of the 80s movie.
Because that movie needed to be remade, right?
Of course.
Tell me that Disney has something to do with this.
I think they do. I would have to double check to see which studio it actually
is. No, it is actually illegal for me to watch it.
I saw the trailer and I do believe I had seen this movie before, the 80s movie with Kevin Bacon before, but I couldn't really remember it other than what everyone knows about the movie, like the soundtrack and stuff, and the dance in the factory building and stuff. And watching this trailer, I couldn't believe the 80s movie could be as bad as what the new one looks like. So I decided this week to go and watch the 80s movie. Which had Kevin Bacon, Chris Penn, and John Lithgow.
Chris Penn is in this movie.
Yeah, Chris Penn is in this movie.
Chris Penn?
Yes. He's really thin in this movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. He was thin at one time?
I think it was like his first movie or something. I could be wrong.
Could be.
This movie's pretty bad. But at the very same time,
I'm not assuming that singing and dancing.
There is no singing. There is no singing. It's just dancing. It's just crazy dancing. But at the same time, it's one of those movies which, when you watch it with the nostalgia goggles of what 80s movies are supposed to be, you find it terribly funny.
Because you've never seen a movie before.
No, but you know what to expect from movies of the 80s. And when you see the ridiculous cheesiness that they're making in these movies, and you see it all throughout this film, it's so hilarious.
You realize Kevin Bacon is in this movie,
right? Yes.
I don't think, apart from accidents, that there have been actual movies with Kevin Bacon that are good. You realize that, right?
I'm sorry, sir.
There's one.
Didn't you say X-Men?
As about this, that's what I was saying. You know, there have been accidents.
I'm not going that to go down this road with you again.
What are the Kevin?
Like the third podcast that we've done.
What's that one where he's killing all of the people because his son died?
Death Sentence.
Death Sentence. That movie's awesome.
I never watched that movie because it looks stupid.
Your fault. It's like Payback, except better.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
And I love me some Payback.
<It's really>
Anyways, I just wanted to give a shout out to Footloose because of that trailer. Also, this week I watched Casino Jack, new movie with Kevin Spacey and Billy Piper.
I started watching that movie last year and stopped when I realized this would not be in my top 10.
This movie is one of the worst movies from last year, right? There are people out there like Edgar Wright who like to be self-referential with their films. They love to have characters which are fans of movies and fans of science fiction and love to be always pointing a finger at all of these things which we all love. This movie decided, instead of being those friendly characters that you like to look at and hope that you were in a room with and you would laugh at their jokes, has a character who is one of the biggest assholes in the world and just likes to throw out movie quotes for no fucking reason.
I'm pretty sure that movie was based on an actual person.
I was about to say, right? There's only so far that he can get upset at like what's going on in the movie because it's real, and he actually does that.
He's that person.
He does do the movie quote thing, and he actually produced the film. So that is not like, it's not like they took that out of their hands.
But you see, at the same time, I just don't believe that the way Kevin Spacey portrayed him, even though the words might be the same, the way that Kevin Spacey did it was the way this man actually was. Because if that was the way the man was, I would have slapped him in the face.
Andrew, you realize this is Kevin Spacey we're talking about, right?
I'm not sure I'm not sure where you're taking this.
Could there be anything other than Kevin Spacey is a great actor
who believes in his own, at this point, believes in his own hype and will do whatever the fuck he wants?
That's what good actors do.
So you didn't like the movie, but and we were taking this.
Yes, it was a very bad movie. Another movie I saw this week was Straw Dogs, the 1971 film starring Dustin Hoffman by Sam Peckinpah. And
sounds like a football player.
And this is another movie which is being remade, and we're probably going to see the new one come out later this year. I can't remember if it's this year or early next year, but looking at that trailer that came out a month ago, it probably is a January release. Sam Peckinpah is famous for his film The Wild Bunch.
Never heard of.
Which is looked at as the beginning of the violent westerns, or the westerns that wasn't afraid to show all of the gunfights. Because, you know, when you watch those old westerns, you'd have a gunfight and you'd see a man pull a gun, shoot, and the guy would just curl over and fall, and you'd still be dirt everywhere. You wouldn't see the red or...
Pretty sure that's what happens, no.
Sam Peckinpah films, there was make sure to be enough blood on scene. This movie is about a mathematician who goes to England, rural England, for a year with his, it seems, recently married wife, and they have an encounter with the locals who are constantly harassing him because his wife is sexy and refuses to dress appropriately. And it culminates in the end with a garrison-like scene, which, to tell the truth, is really the selling point of this film. While the first 90 minutes is incredible setup, I don't think it would have been as good without that last half hour of him holding off the locals from coming in his home. And I really don't want to give too much away, but it's fantastic. And the sequences that Peckinpah puts together... You're just laughing at that fucker's name, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Douglas is a single individual.
Have you watched a Peckinpah film?
I might have, but you're going to have to go through them. I don't know his name.
So those sequences towards in that last half an hour is just really well put together, and the violence is just perfect. I mean, I wouldn't say it's equal, but based on how the film was set up, I think the way the film ends is just as good as how Hardboiled ended in that last half an hour scene. And I don't mean to make it sound as campy as Hardboiled and action ridiculous, but the way that it's executed, the way the scene is executed and well put together is how I think of the last half an hour of Hardboiled.
Actually, the way you describe this movie kind of makes me think of Unforgiven.
Unforgiven? Oh, no. Isn't that the one with...
Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman?
Oh, shit. I was thinking about something completely different. I was thinking of Unfaithful. Well,
that's another awesome movie, though. I like that movie.
But no, completely different from Unforgiven, as far as I'm concerned. Other than the fact that it has that one final moment, but this one's stretched out a lot more and stuff. But what I really want to talk about is this new TV show.
Damn it.
Which just started.
Stole it from me.
It's based on an Australian show of the same name. And it stars the same guy from that show. It's called Wilfred. It's on FX. And it stars Elijah Wood.
Oh. I saw the promo.
This show is fantastic. It is hilarious. It is dark. It is insane. This man sees his dog and views it as a person in a dog suit. And the dog is continually telling him how he needs to live. And at first you think he's just hallucinating based off of drugs, but it seems like he's pretty much crazy. And but it's really funny and really well put together. And it's obvious that it's one of these narratives where this guy, it's not just that he's crazy, it's that his life requires a change, and he's using this insanity to try and push himself towards a change.
What was that Beaver movie that
The Beaver? The Beaver. It came out. I haven't seen that movie, but I mean, I guess based on the trailer, I guess it's kind of similar.
Except with jokes.
Because Beaver.
No, no. In principle, not in execution.
If someone puts a beaver on their head and pretend that it's actually a beaver, they've lost their minds.
I think Damon, give the first episode a chance, because it sounds like you haven't watched it yet. Give the first episode a chance.
I have shit to watch. A lot of TV shows that I did watch that I need to catch up on. I'm not going to finish watching it.
Just
what was that? Luther?
I'm not finished watching
it. Thank you very much.
And they have already started making more episodes in the second season.
Yes, they have. I'm so happy.
The League will not finish watching it.
That show is hilarious.
I've seen like two episodes of The League and I need to finish that.
They should call that TV show Dick Moves. You guys are assholes. to each other all the time.
I know, it's fantastic.
Yes. Yep, and that's all I watched this week.
Okay, so I would like to say something. I would like to say something from my heart.
I don't like where this is going.
Lately, if you folks have been listening, you have probably noticed that a lot of what I have watched recently have been movies, but not just movies, really bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to cut that shit out.
Finally came to Damien's side.
Right.
We don't need to watch bad
movies. So I stopped watching movies.
Okay.
No movies.
So that means you haven't watched anything this week?
I think you've passed. I don't think you're getting the by reason.
Because clearly, the reason why I watch bad things is because I watch movies.
Right.
And so
I have a better explanation to that.
And so,
but I'm not going to go there.
Exactly. And so stop watching movies.
Thank
you.
Yeah. So
logic.
This week was all about the TV shows. I know I mentioned this one before. I mentioned it last week, and when I had watched actually only 5 minutes of the first episode. This week, I'm happy to say that I've actually finished the first season or the series.
Shadow Law.
Thank you. It's the Shadow Line, bastard. Where's that from? I know that from
Street Fighter. We talked about it last week.
Anyway, I watched the Shadow Line, which, as I said before, stars Chewie. Along with a bunch of other British people that I don't really know.
Will they change the name?
Are they willing to change the name for Damien?
The question really should be, is there going to be a second series? Because I really don't know. The ending was a little bit final in my books. But that's how you
TV
Brits are, you know?
Look, I watched one season of a TV show.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my favorite TV shows only lasted one season. They call it Terrors, and it's never coming back.
Yeah. And you cry at night.
You
cry every night.
Although it's harder to part with something when you only get 7 episodes. And that's how long this was. And that's how long generally British series are. But this show was fairly decent. It didn't get as awesome as I wanted it to get, but I think that was my projection of the bar being above the ceiling. And I think it was...
It's all true, Edwin. This has to be awesome.
Exactly. But it was a really good show, nonetheless. I also watched Wilfred, as Andrew said, and I echo most of what he had to say. It's a really good show. I actually find it funny. So I have XBMC, as you know. And when Yeah, you've heard. When it got the information, the pictures and everything for Wilfred, it got the information for the Australian series first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to, you know, go in and manually change it and say, no man, this is a US one. And it was so interesting how the differences between the photos, the promotional kind of items were. In the Australian, you know, you see essentially the two main characters, or maybe it was three people, I don't know, but you see a bunch of people in the promo, and you know, clearly it's like, look at all of these people, and this is all that the show has to offer.
Right.
You flip now over to the American version, and there's Elijah Wood.
Right. Like, look, you know him. Just focus on him. This dude that
and
was in...
If you look closely enough, in the corner of the banner, about 2 centimeters tall, is the dog.
Oh,
right? The man
good.
In the dog suit. So I thought that in itself was hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
But no, this show is really funny. And it has some great lines. I mean, I was cracking up when this made-up dog was shouting at Elijah Wood, telling him, be a man and shit in that boot. But it just,
you know, I think it was one of my favorite moments from that episode. And it was while I was still kind of trying to figure out whether this man was crazy or if this was
yeah,
real.
It takes a long time,
right?
For you to figure that one out.
Right? like, you just want to know he's crazy, but you see, you're watching everything happen and you're like, part of this has to be real. And he's out with this dog at like an outside restaurant, and a waitress comes up to him, and the dog just throws his face into the waitress's breasts, and she's just all like, oh, he's so lovable and stuff. And you're just like, but it's a man.
This is true.
Is it?
However, there are still two good things that I watched this week. I can't believe it. Four good things in 1 week. This is what usually happens.
Like Christmas.
Exactly. It's just like Christmas. So there's this thing, and it is called Burn Notice, and it came back.
Oh shit! That show is. I love that episode. Even though the Sam Axe movie, yeah, that was rubbish.
Yeah, it was kind of Sam Axe. But listen, I liked it because I had my. I guess you can't really call it nostalgia goggles. I mean, 3 years is not really nostalgia, but I had on my Burn Notice goggles. I like that movie. All right. So yes, I watched the first episode of the fourth season of Burn... Fifth? Thought it was the fourth. Yes. Okay, the fifth season of Burn Notice. And the show did not disappoint. And it's got... Whatchamacallit? It's got now everybody kind of... Well, I guess I can say this. I mean, at the end of the last season, Michael Westin finally gets back into the CIA. And they've actually, in the first episode of this season, figured out a way to reintroduce all the old characters, which is a good thing. Which makes sense because it's a situational. And you don't really want things changing. But that's great. You get to hopefully see all these guys come back for good. And on to a show that I, for some reason, stopped watching about 4 years ago. After
Days of Our Lives. Young and
no,
Restless.
No, but close. After
Oprah.
Oh, you got me. So after I went on and praised this show and said that it was one of the best shows ever and loving it to death,
you immediately pulled out Douglas.
Exactly. Stop watching. And after the first two seasons, I just stopped watching it. And really, it was out of laziness, because all it was that I needed to get a DVD of the rest of the seasons, because actually it had already finished by the time I started watching it. And this season, this show is called 6 Feet Under.
Ah.
And that show is fantastic. And I started watching the third season just now. I've watched so far the first episode. And again, don't fail to disappoint. However, it is really jarring. Because not only have I gone into this show now with a 4-year hiatus, but also the first episode of season 3 jumps about 6 or 7 months into the future. And it also talks about things that could happen because this guy is in a coma and could see all sorts of... So it's very weird and it's very... It took me at least a long time to get kind of rooted or grounded as to where I was and what was happening, but it's really good. Love this show. Andrew really wants me to talk about something else that I saw today that I really wasn't going to talk about. For a similar reason as to why I talked about the other four. I watched, and Andrew watched it as well actually, Scenes from the Suburbs. The latest short film by Spike Jonze.
Which, it's available on Mubi.com for free right now. You can...
Well, no, stop. It's not available right now, because this is officially next week. You guys hear it. So it was available 2 weeks ago when we recorded this. Right? But this is essentially... So if you guys have seen... The music video for, I can't remember the name of the song, but I think it's the old
the
music
Suburbs.
Video.
It's The Suburbs, isn't it?
Suburbs is the name of the album, sir. I'm not sure if there's a song named The Suburbs, but that's the name of the album.
Guys, point.
It's The Suburbs, yeah, that's the name of the song.
Okay, cool. So, if you've seen the video for The Suburbs...
Which I haven't.
Which you haven't. That is also directed by Spike Jonze and features pieces from this short film. It really is a condensed version of this short film. This thing was... I don't know. I didn't really like it that much.
He did well. Weird well, exactly.
Yeah,
he did. I was going to call it well.
He also did Being John Malkovich and Adaptation.
Well, things are.
Yeah. That he did.
Yeah.
But no, the music was great, of course, because most of it was Arcade Fire. Actually, I'm pretty sure all of it was, but there were some that I just wasn't familiar with. And the... It was well directed.
Oh. You see, I think the problem with this short film is it felt like a 30-minute music video.
Yes, it did, but also it not only felt like a 30-minute music video, it felt like a 30-minute music video that was intended to be a futuristic sci-fi movie that was made in the 70s. That's what it felt like to me. The storyline just sounded like that kind of a movie. Because it's about how... Well, I don't know if, like, anarchy has gone, but I'd assume there is anarchy. And, like, there are townships that have been created because there are no longer states in the US. There are just towns. And each town is policed by its own squadron, its own militia. And, you know, you can't... Each town wars over golf courses and mini malls and... you can't go from one town to the other freely and all sorts of foolishness. It sounds like sounds to me like a sci-fi movie about what would happen in the future envisioned by somebody from the 70s. And because those are the type of movies that I see from the 70s. Or the 80s, whatever it is.
Right, so Andrew, you saw it. What are your... Douglas clearly doesn't like it and he's trying to talk about it. He's not a fan. But you don't strike me as that type of person.
To talk around.
Yeah. You seem very straightforward. You like it?
I don't know. Like, serious thing, right? I feel like watching it, like, I prefer the Arcade 5 video, which is a 5-minute version of this 30-minute short film.
Anything bad about
I like Spike Jonze too much. I feel almost like I would have been happier if they just had the music playing along to the visuals as opposed to the dialogue and trying to put this story forward, because I feel like the story could have done with a lot of work. And I mean, this is coming from someone who liked I'm Here, which was his short film last year about the robots. And even the short film that came on the Where the Wild Things Are DVD... about the...
The experience.
The experience, right? That was the name of it, right? With
I don't know
puppet,
if that was the name of it, but yeah, that's what it
with
was
the
about.
Puppet dog voiced by Meryl Streep and all of this puppetry and crazy things going on. And I like a lot of his music videos from before he was, like, proper directing.
But yeah, no, Spike Jonze, actually, he has a DVD set.
Mm-hmm.
He has a DVD set of all of his music videos from before and his short films from before. And I remember I watched that in college, and there were quite a few, like, goodies in there. There was one I think he did for Bjork that was all inside a box that was rolling around.
That's
I think
awesome.
And it was just
Damon is not having any of this.
Damon is like, Spike Jonze and Bjork, how worse can this get?
It's so great. Inside our box, this is good. I like that concept already.
I can't remember if it was him, but Bjork had another music video that was amazing that you didn't like, but I forced you to watch, with a cat that grew to be like the size of a human being.
I don't remember that one.
I remember there was dancing involved, and I think the cat got angry, and it was hilarious.
I'm sure it was high most of college.
There's nothing that doesn't describe any movie.
So yeah, scenes from the suburb. I don't know why I call it that. I would recommend you watch it to find out what you... If you're a fan of Spike Jonze, watch it to find out. Especially if you're lucky enough to catch it on MUBI for free. I don't know if it'll be up for much longer.
No, it won't be. It's already done. A week ago it stopped.
They claim that it'll only last 2 days, but you never know.
Plus it's the internet, guys. If it was given somewhere for free, I'm pretty sure...
Someone gonna find a way to thief it. Damon, what have you been watching?
So I saw X-Men. X-Men was wonderful. People were shit-talking the Beast makeup, which...
I'll give you that. Makeup, it's questionable.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's kind of hard to quibble on that. But question.
Yes.
Fassbender versus McAvoy, which did you prefer in that film?
it has to be Fassbender because he was the one murdering fools. And he, I don't know if you saw, he lifted a submarine out of the water. It was pretty awesome. Plus, that is the best way I've seen someone kill someone in a comic book movie at any point. And the whole him stopping Rocky Sanchi, the Matrix move that everybody has to do at this point. That movie was great. I enjoyed all of it. I need to go back and watch the second movie to see if I prefer this one more than the second one, but I will have to wait until the DVD comes out. I said DVD.
It's so dirty.
So fun. The day, right? I also saw Fire in Babylon, which is a cricket documentary, in quotes. And it's, as far as documentaries go, it's pretty bad. But if you like cricket, you love it, because you like cricket. You already want that information, and having people give you that information in any form, you'll enjoy it. And I saw the greatest trilogy of all time, the Sergio Leone.
You gonna talk about this again?
And it's terrific. But last week was mostly about the TV shows. A lot of TV shows started, which Douglas talked about and Andrew talked about. The only one that premiered sometime last week that I will talk about is Top Gear. Yo guys, do you like the first 16 seasons of Top Gear? You like
the 17?
I did enjoy that they had the Tron soundtrack playing all throughout that episode. That brought a smile to my face. And they had the world's most kick-ass vehicle, the Marauder, which I'd buy in a heartbeat. But it's
not that car is insane. Yeah, like seriously, why did someone make that?
The producers are probably the best producers in the world, and they're given ludicrous amounts of money to do whatever they feel like, and they do, and it's always enjoyable.
I love whenever the season is coming to its last episode and the guys on the show start complaining about how they've run out of money.
I wonder why, because you guys have blown through all the money like an episode. It's amazing. So yeah, I saw that. As I said, I've been watching Luther, and guys, Luther is good enough that it doesn't just have to be about Idris Elba love anymore. It's legitimately good, and people should watch it. I won't go as far as saying that it's amazing.
It's amazing!
No. But it's really good, and people should. You should watch it. Sadly, though, I've gone down a dark road with a TV show that I promised myself I wouldn't continue watching, but have, and it has made things worse. I stopped watching True Blood because, yo guys, that show sucks. But the new season started Sunday, and I said, well, everybody that I know going to watch it, and they're all going to talk about it, and I use the peer pressure excuse, which I never use because it's not true. I don't care what anybody watching. But I said, alright, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it gets better by the time the season ends. Turns out, no, I was right. True Blood has, it's not so much that they jumped the shark or nuked the fridge, it's like they've combined both of those. They've nuked the shark that while jumping the fridge. I mean I don't know who is writing this, but it's gone off the rails. I'm not following anything that's happening here.
Is it weird that I enjoyed that first episode?
I don't care. I haven't seen the first episode.
I thought you just said
you should listen to it. Exactly.
The third season.
He said it didn't get better at all.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. And I just kept watching for some strange reason. I really am an idiot. What else? I finished watching White Collar, the first two seasons. No, the first season.
Good,
one
bad,
season.
Indifferent.
It's watchable. You'll forget it as soon as it's like popcorn. It's fun and light, and
So it's Burn Notice.
Pretty much. Leverage has come back to TV.
You know what else is Burn Notice?
What?
That Doctor show. It's the same fucking story. It's hilarious.
Royal Pains.
Yeah.
Saw a couple episodes. Didn't really grab me. Leverage is back. And I realized that I didn't finish watching the whatever the hell seasons had gone. And if you at any point enjoyed an episode of Leverage, you should keep watching it, because they found a formula that works. It's like Law and Order. It's comfort food. That's what it is. And it made me feel better after having all that hate inside of me for watching True Blood, which I know I shouldn't have done. And then all that hate returned when I watched Douglas's movie, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I hear you. Before we get to the question time, I want to read a headline that I came across on the interwebs while we were talking about all sorts of random bullshit. This headline says, Prince won't record new music until internet piracy under control.
Okay.
Question.
Does he already have a billion albums?
Look, this is
he has more money than...
This is the man who has a song in 1999 under his belt. That song will be a hit every year when New Year's comes around.
This is a man who, for his last two or three albums, distributed them via the newspaper because he said that the internet was dead.
Right.
What is wrong with this guy?
Prince,
I love him.
Prince never lived on our earth.
And that's why he's amazing.
He doesn't exist in our plane of existence.
When you open the dictionary to eccentric, you see a picture of Prince.
No, there's just a symbol. You change the name to a symbol.
Eccentric,
which is guys, what he is. Guys, he changed his name to a symbol. I don't think anything Prince says should affect any of us. He's a crazy lunatic, but that is why we love him. And if he says he's not releasing an album until internet piracy is under control,
I guess we're not getting any music for a long time.
You just continue playing your old songs live, which is what everybody wants from you anyway. So I think it's win-win. You won't waste time writing new shit, and people still pay you hundreds of dollars to watch you perform live and be a crazy lunatic.
By the way, am I the only one that is happy that Steve Malkmus and the Jicks have a new album coming out?
Who?
What on the Wood?
Good, moving on.
Produced by Beck, apparently.
Moving on. Question time.
He was the lead singer of Pavement in the 90s.
Of course, you're making this better.
So, question coming from user Tracy. What's a funny prison movie? Or just a funny crime movie like Super Troopers or Cop Out?
That doesn't count. My answer was going to be Cop Out. What the hell? She preempted me.
Like, I see where you're going. Simple bastard. Prison movie. Can you read the genres that she's asking for? Prison movie?
A funny prison movie,
uh-huh.
Or just a funny crime movie?
And then she quoted...
like Super Troopers and Cop Out.
Alright, so those movies aren't prison movies, as far as I can tell. But that is not what I take issue with. How dare you? How dare you put Super Troopers and Cop Out anywhere near each other?
I mean, really, Cop Out is such a great film.
Super Troopers is one of the best movies to ever been made. And as much as I like Smodcast, Cop Out is garbage. Okay? That's terrible.
I stopped listening to Smodcast a long time. I got annoyed with him, honestly. Maybe it was during his being bitchy at the airlines phase that I just gave up, but...
Or was it being him during... I need a drink.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not finish that sentence.
I still enjoy Smartcast because he's a lunatic and I like seeing how crazy people mind works. That's why I come here every week to listen to Douglas and Andrew.
Yay!
But what is she... None of those crime and prison movies? I've never heard of that genre. Do you know any funny prison crime movies?
There's Cop Out 2.
Us?
Us
funny.
I can give one serious answer.
Sure.
Philip Morris.
That's not a serious answer.
No, but it's funny.
It's a funny prison movie.
It's not that funny.
I think that's the only one that
fits. Wait, hold on. Did you really think that was that funny?
Movie.
I mean...
No, it's
really
it. No, it definitely, it definitely.
Really
I mean, it's,
I mean,
right, hold on.
Right? It's not bad. There's no way that in on earth that I could say that was a bad movie.
And I'm not going to argue with anybody that doesn't like the movie.
Okay, Douglas, the movie is funny, but at the very same time, it switches during moments into being serious. Right, but at the same time, it's still a funny
movie.
You
know what I think about that movie? I think that Jim Carrey is funny and everybody mistakes that for the movie being funny. That's what I think. That's what I really think.
So when you watched the trailer for The Guard a few weeks back, what did you think about the fact that Brendan Gleeson was funny and everyone around him played a serious movie, seems to play a serious movie?
Well, first of all, that's not the case. Have you seen Don Cheadle in that trailer yet? He's clearly playing like the straight man and the one that keeps getting the racist jokes made at and that kind of thing. And a lot of the... Almost everything in that trailer was clearly made to look funny. I didn't think it was necessarily that funny, but I think... I mean, in terms of... In the context of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this will either be a funny movie or a movie that was made to be funny. As opposed to what I said about...
I think that question is disrespectful and I'm not going to answer it because they have solid the name of Super Troopers and I don't think that's...
I give that. Both of you 0 points because you think Super Troopers is a good movie.
Yo, Super Troopers is so good.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Haven't we gone through this?
I don't think you're hosting the podcast next week because you'll be dead.
Right.
A few hints dropped.
Okay. Trailers this week.
No,
there's
trailer.
Because honestly, there were no good trailers out this week except for one. And good probably isn't a really proper description. It's A Dangerous Method, directed by David Cronenberg, starring one Vincent Cassel, Keira Knightley, and Viggo Mortensen and Michael Fassbender.
Sex.
Male.
Family.
Child.
Divorce.
No.
Professor Freud.
And Dr. Jung.
I've simply opened a door. It's for the young men like yourself to walk through it.
Perhaps she's the one for your experimental treatment.
Tell me about the first time you can remember being beaten by your father.
It excited me!
Too many ands.
You realize it should only be one and,
yes.
Right?
I'm drinking.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want when I drink.
And there might be four commas, but that's only the Oxford comma, and most people actually don't use that. So.
And.
But
right.
You know, this trailer looks kind of like a David Cronenberg movie. You know how I know this is a David Cronenberg movie? Not because they told me he directed it.
Well, they did tell us.
They did tell us, but not because of that. I knew it was David Cronenberg because Viggo Mortensen was in this film. Viggo Mortensen has become, to David Cronenberg, what Leonardo DiCaprio is to Martin Scorsese. Simple as that. This is now what? Third? Fourth? Fifth movie?
Three.
I was going to be very mean a while ago.
And so what?
I'm not great.
What were you going
come
to
on,
say, sir?
Come on, we want it.
Out with it. It's good to say, as Johnny Depp is to shitty movies.
Wow.
The correct answer to that question was as Johnny Depp is to Tim Burton, right. That bastard.
But instead of saying that, I was just going to group them all that shit.
I know, right?
But that's, the old ones that's extremely are mean. Exactly. That's
it is.
I didn't say that.
It is kind of mean.
That's why I didn't say that.
But yeah, no, that's actually, I find that kind of interesting. But I actually like that because
they've all been kick-ass movies.
Well, yes, they have all been kick-ass movies. But also, it's like, don't break a system that's not working. I mean, if you have found
a system that's not working.
If you have found whatever.
Wait, what did I just say? So how much have you drank so far?
Wait,
hold on. Let me take another sip and I'll calm myself.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm pretty sure that's where we were headed.
That's where I was headed, but I wanted to
say On that note.
God's name is going on here.
So yes, don't fix a system that's not broken.
Yes.
But
why don't you just skip past that phrase, that metaphor, or whatever it is?
I like that. No, I really like that. They've formed this sort of partnership, and the same thing with Scorsese and DiCaprio. You found somebody that you like to work with. The same thing, actually, kind of you could consider it with Mark Strong and my boy
Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn in a sense, but I was really thinking of Revolver.
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
He's done a couple of movies with him as well. And it's just you get to the point where you know you guys know what is needed, how you guys work together.
Like Paul Thomas Anderson, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
How many movies has he been in? With
Punch Drunk Love, yeah. Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that scene.
Magnolia. He wasn't in There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, he wasn't in that one. That's the one that I was thinking. I was like, I know that he's not in that one.
Yeah, but he's in most of them. I haven't seen Hard Eight. Have you seen Hard Eight?
No, I don't watch that one. But this trailer looks bad. This is not a good trailer.
No, it is not.
However, they did what was necessary. They told me that
the relevant information.
They told me who was in this movie, and even though they told me that Keira Knightley was in this movie, I still kind of want to watch it. Even though they're forcing Keira Knightley to try and have an accent other than a British one, they're claiming that she's Russian.
So bad.
I actually, you know what? I give her a lot of shit. But at the same time, I like a lot of the movies that she's in, so I really shouldn't. It's the same Orlando Bloom.
Here lies the thing,
argument.
Right? Here lies the thing. Just like what
anyway,
you guys are talking.
I think listeners should have a drinking game out of this movie. Every time Andrew says "Herein lies the thing," and every time he says "Anyways," and every time
I think you've already done that.
Douglas messes up some sort of phrase. Every time Damien puts down another person,
yep.
And then they'll be drunk before the podcast.
Every time
begins.
Damien mentions Rambo.
That's not fair.
Before you say that, I just wanted to say that I really shouldn't say bad things about movies with Keira Knightley in it, because actually, not only do I like movies that she's in, but quite a few times I like her in the movies as well. Even Domino that is so
exactly.
I know there are a lot of people that hate that movie.
Alright, hold on. Before we go any further,
and
Douglas is going to say
Tom Waits was in it. Not just because Tom Waits was in it.
I already picked up on that. I was going to say that's unfair, it's Douglas.
I mean, come on, what if I was talking about, that, you know, they're all talking.
You watch anything with Tom Waits? It's very sad. The trailer's bad, but I don't care, because they pass on all the information I need.
Fassbender.
Bono.
Mortensen.
And Vincent Cassel. I love Vincent Cassel.
Everybody loves him. You can't watch movies and not like him, it's impossible.
I think I have to watch Black Swan again tonight.
And I mean, even there's just nothing apart from the trailer being not good. There is no reason for me. I mean, that usually trailers are the reasons people should watch a movie, they give you a glimpse and you go, well, that looked terrible, and then you extrapolate. But this time, even though the trailer is bad, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, it hasn't diminished how much I want to watch this movie in any way, shape, or form.
It's a David Cronenberg film. I didn't know what I mean. Like, I kind of want to go back and watch a lot of his earlier science fiction films because I haven't seen that many of them. I know I've seen The Fly, and I think that's about it for some reason. We talked about Dead Ringers.
Yes, we reviewed that.
But otherwise, I don't think I've seen any of his pre-dramatic Viggo Mortensen movies. I want to watch Videodrome. No, don't watch it. It looks insane. I just keep seeing people post the picture of the guy putting the thing into his chest or something like that.
That one you can skip. Just trust me on this one.
I was listening to another podcast. It's a new podcast called The Film Locker with Hatter from The Dark of the Matinee and Simon from Screen Insight. I think that's his blog.
We'll give the Hatter a pass. He came on to our show.
Yes, he did.
And did the lady Hatter?
Yes.
Who I actually prefer to the Hatter.
I wonder why.
He's just sexist.
And they've started this new podcast called The Film Locker where they talk about directors, and they had an episode recently about David Cronenberg, and they had compared him to a more accessible David Lynch, and thinking about
he's far and away more accessible. I can understand his movies and I enjoy
I'm not talking about the new movies. I'm talking about the previous science fiction filled madness.
Dead Ringers, I could watch and enjoy. There's no, there anything Lynch has made that I actually want to watch again? No. I think that's pretty much across the board. Oh, I saw that. One more tick onto my me being a
film snob.
Right. Oh, snob points. No, I'll never
watch again. So yeah, this movie, I'm in love with all of the Viggo Mortensen and David Cronenberg collaborations.
Collabo!
I love History of Violence, Eastern Promises. I need to watch it more because I rewatched The History of Violence and I remember how much I love that movie.
William Hurt.
You just proclaimed your
what
love.
What are you talking for? Come back to
the movie. So yeah, I'm down for this movie. I'm happy to see Vincent Cassel getting more roles because that dude is amazing.
And you realize he gets all sorts of roles in this place called France, right?
Yeah, and we just don't get to watch it.
I mean, there are three movies that are a part of a trilogy called Mesrine that are supposed to be fantastic.
Mesrine?
Never heard of it.
I've heard the name, but for some reason... But for some reason I'm blanking.
But first of all, not only
are you talking about the Colors trilogy
not only should you have heard this because it's an awesome movie, but you should have heard this because I was literally begging for us to talk about this trailer when it came out because it was coming out to the the US market, and you specifically said you would not watch this
you.
Movie.
I can't block you.
I mean
you.
The trailer, sorry.
I don't think anyone likes my hair, Mom.
Oh, stop.
I just get this sense from people.
Oh, shit. I still haven't signed up for after school activities.
What have you been thinking about doing?
I think I'm gonna do video.
Yeah, me too. You guys seen this?
Right, so this week we decided to talk about after school. And I mean, this movie is told through the eyes of Rob, a young student at a prep school. Seems like a prep school. It's more like a high school. It's told through the eyes of Rob and the camera. We're looking for these moments that, whether staged or not, give off a feeling of truth. Since people seldom show their true nature or self, it's understandable that the director decides to show us a slanted view of life where everyone is always poorly framed on the screen, kind of askewed away from our view. The question I have to ask you guys is whether it helped make us understand the reality of this world, or did it just make the truth more elusive? Douglas chose this film. I want him to tell us exactly what, not necessarily made him choose this film, but what stood out to you about this film?
What first drew me to this movie was actually the main character, the main actor. I really do not know his name, but he's been in a lot of things that I've seen. He's been in he's in Royal Pains. He's in
Ezra Miller. His name is Ezra Miller. I'm just letting you know.
Thank you. Ezra Miller has been in a bunch of movies and a bunch of shows that I've seen, and in each of them, I love him. I think his persona, which actually is kind of similar in each of these things that I've seen, is probably what really I like. This kind of sarcastic teenage sort of, I'm a little bit too cool for you type of persona. It's kind of, I don't know what it is about it that's endearing to me, but I liked it. And once I saw him, especially this, have you seen the poster? The poster is fantastic for this movie. But either way, it really was him that drew me to this film. When I now started watching the movie, there were actually a bunch of things that I liked about it. At first, I noticed that this was very much Elephant-esque. Do you remember that movie Elephant by Gus Van Sant? And I love that film. I love Elephant. I know you don't, Damien. But this movie, I feel, tries to be Elephant, but falls flat. It takes a good possibly 30 to 40 minutes to get into what's really happening, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but you know, that's just how it goes. And at the point where finally you see, okay, these two girls have died, they have overdosed apparently, that didn't look like what was happening.
What
like
they have for breakfast?
Murdered them, but anyway. once you get to that point, there was a really, what I thought was a really great scene. By the way, this movie was, no, I can't say that. There was a really great scene right after. So the setup of this movie is that Ezra Miller, as Andrew calls him, I don't believe Andrew.
Yeah.
He loves internet clips and videos, and he's doing an after-school activity, which kind of ties into the movie name, of being in the audiovisual club, and he is trying to shoot a movie, and just perchance, he's in this hallway and he's shooting the hallway, and then these girls come and die right in front of him. So right after this happens, there is one scene where he's questioned by, you know, the teachers, the faculty. They're like, yo, why didn't you go call for help? But clearly he was just in shock, or that's what he seemed to think at the time. And then they let him go because, you know, he's what, 11, 12, whatever he is. By the way, he could easily be in prep school. In the States, they call what they call prep school is a preparation for college.
they were in boarding school, guys.
Yeah, boarding school. So there is a scene right after that where everything is out of focus, and slowly but surely, Rob comes into focus. And I thought that was a pivotal point for the movie. That was where the movie could have become really good. I thought that at the time, that this was them finally focusing on something. Because as Andrew says, and as you can see if you watch this movie, in the first 40 minutes, it really doesn't focus on anybody or anything. The camera is all over the place. It's very... throughout the film, before and after the scene, it's made so that it kind of resembles those video clips on the internet that, that this guy loves. Rob is the name of his character. And I thought that once you saw him come into focus so clearly, and for a long while he was in focus when he was, I think he was calling somebody and I think he was walking around. And I thought that at that point, that was when the focus, not just of the camera, but of everybody else in this movie would be on Rob. And that would be some sort of, not necessarily a metaphor, but you know, some sort of visual indication of what was happening. And it turned out that I was wrong, and that's not exactly what happened. And the camera went back to doing its usual stuff, kind of not really focusing on too much, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but what this movie really lacks is dialogue. It lacks dialogue. I don't want to say it lacks story, because there is a very cohesive story to this movie, but it's kind of hard to follow because of all of the spaces involved. There is a lot of, I don't want to call it wasted time, but there's a lot of time in this movie where you're watching it and your fingers are itching to hit the fast forward button because nothing is happening. And there you go. And it's really representative of what's happening and how this is a teenager's life in boarding school where nothing much happens and where, you know, you just kind of hang out and you maybe have your first sexual encounter and, you know, you do this and you do that, but nothing really is too... there's a lot of space in between all of these significant actions and activities. And it just... I felt it didn't play very well. And but at the same time, it had so many great factors that could have been... It could have made a better movie if they were better executed. For example, you know, you had the... I mean, this is kind of cliche, but, you know, you had the roommate stealing the girlfriend... You had the actual getting of the girlfriend when, you know, this guy thinks he's this awkward and not that great kind of person. And you've got, of course, the big deal, which is, I just saw two people die in front of me. And what am I going, how am I going to deal with this? And I just feel like the movie didn't explore all of that, or... it explored all of that in a way that was not intriguing, in a way that really bored me, and I'm sure you, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the audience. I know that this is a movie that's well received critically, but me personally, I just think it was a bit... there was too much space in this film. That is really what I got from it.
I'll talk about the stuff that I liked first. I like the fact that the lead actor from Serious Man was the principal.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And, every time he came on screen, kind of like readjusted because I was busy falling asleep for most of his movie.
I kind of like to think of him as that guy from Boardwalk Empire.
He's in Boardwalk Empire? Yeah.
Yes, because you don't watch more than 10 minutes of a show, you don't know that.
No, I watched the first episode, okay. And I think a half an hour
is that
the second.
Is that a good thing? There's only 2 episodes, you're almost there.
Yeah.
Season 2 is coming.
Really?
They're making more? Don't believe you. Right. And that's pretty much all I like about this movie. Things that really annoyed me, the fact that whenever they were showing clips, clips that weren't from the main movie, like they show a lot of internet clips, they resize the video for no reason. They don't have to. It's going to look shitty if you have it in a small box or you blow it up to fill the screen. So those didn't end there the movie to me in any way. I also didn't like the fact that they started out the movie with a series of clips. This movie came out in 2008, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that by 2008, it is understood that people watch a lot of clips on the internet. There is no reason for them to start a movie like that. It's not like
you
those
know why
clips,
they started
a
movie
those
like
clips
that?
Didn't give me any insight into
yes,
any
yes,
point
it did.
Of the movie.
Yes, it
where
did. The porn clip gave you an insight into what happened later in the
okay.
movie. That was about
I feel the
I mean,
clips,
no, no,
the clips
I give you that everything else, sorry, whatever. But it's I guess it's that it's the director's way of saying guess what this guy likes to do. You know, but I don't know.
Yeah, but he's a teenage boy. We kind of, wouldn't you just have assumed he watched all of those things? We watch all of those things and we're adults. it's not a mystery what teenagers do on the internet.
I agree with you that the clips are kind of jarring in the opening, but at the same time, it ties into towards further down in the film when he's talking to the psychiatrist and he talks about the fact that he watches these moments. And there are things that when you watch feature films, like we will watch movies and we'll see a scene and then another scene, and then the further you get into the movie is the more that writers have to make up bullshit. And you start to get to a moment where you're like, really, you're really going to go that far? But when you're left to a 3 minute or less clip of just pretty much a moment in life, it's hard not to be unbelievable sometimes. And that's what the introduction of all of those clips were. Kind of like when it started out with a clip of the tearing paper baby, which just giggled at the fact that the paper was tearing and stuff like that.
Right. No, look, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if we didn't see any of those clips at the start, if the movie opened with just him in front of his computer watching whatever the hell he was watching, and then later in the movie when he gets to the therapist, he told him that, look, I watch this kind of stuff and this kind of stuff, you'd have still nothing would have been gained, nothing would have been lost.
I agree.
You'd have understood that this is what teenagers do.
I agree, but I like the effect of seeing the clips in the film. Like, we personally who would have seen these clips already because we are internet
right.
people.
But it and who exactly this movie is directed at internet people. No one is going to watch this movie and not know what they're getting into, right? And for the people who don't know, this movie won't end there. People who don't have any idea what the internet is, spooky internet, won't watch this movie for long enough. The only people that would sit down and put themselves through this movie are people like us. this movie doesn't have wide appeal to everybody. And the clips slowed down the movie. They weren't really necessary. I understand why he puts them in there, but they're not. They're not necessary. And then the story, the overarching story is, it's just bad. This is a bad story. Douglas' main complaint is that there wasn't enough dialogue to connect these scenes, and so there's a lot of time spent centrally looking at people, and you didn't have any real context for why you were. I mean, there are some scenes that were pretty obvious what was happening, but there are other scenes that were essentially just scenes.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't think that anything was not obvious in terms of what was happening. I just think, as you said, a lot of them were just scenes
right.
where, even though you know what's happening, you're like, I know what's happening. Why don't you keep go ahead and
right.
deal with what's happening? What else you want to deal with?
Right. Now, Douglas says it's a less successful elephant, which I agree with. The problem is, I didn't like Elephant. So this movie is
looks less successful
wow.
than a bad movie.
Wow.
That's awesome. by the way, I just like to say, even though I just said that, I really like Elephant. So
I love Elephant.
I'm pretty sure you guys have said that once or twice. Sorry. I just feel like the movie dragged its feet for the hour and 40 minutes that it was on the screen, there was points where literally I thought that I wasn't going to make it through the movie. I was just fed up with watching nothing happen on the screen for long stretches of time. The one point where I thought there was going to be some kind of turnaround was when he actually presented the memorial video. And I felt that if they had ended the movie there without giving me... can I say? After he showed the video, the teacher essentially looked at him and said, "This is the worst movie we've ever seen."
Yeah, so
we're going to
re-edit
this.
This is a video about the twins that died,
right? The memorial video for them. Now, if they had put the movie there, before the teacher said that it's the worst movie, it's the worst movie he's ever seen, and just let the movie end and be ambiguous, I would have at least respected the movie for doing so. But by giving me the ending, what they gave me with the shitty memorial video, and what was that song they were playing during the memorial?
I can't remember,
but
it was
like
a lame
tune or
yeah.
something.
I remember, like, I know what you're talking about,
right.
But right now, even like a couple hours after watching
exactly.
the movie, I just can't remember
right.
what the song actually
right.
was.
It was blocking out all that nonsense.
I remember thinking that I knew that song.
Yeah, it was. it's kind of a jingle. It's like one of those child jingle. It's bad. And the memorial video that they cut was pretty bad. And then they essentially just ended the movie. They just went, "All right, guys, you've stayed with us for an hour and 40 minutes. We're going to put the lead character back in focus and then do something that you'd never expect. Someone watching him. Is there someone watching him?" And then the movie's over. And you come away from the movie going, "This, I don't get why this movie. The movie really, there's no substance. You don't feel like anything happened while you were watching the movie," which is kind of sad. I expected better from this movie because there was potential, but it just didn't follow through.
Exactly. But you know what? This movie had a so-called twist at the end.
They tried.
And
bad.
I don't understand how why they thought they tried, because as
the
first scene,
but
not even to attempt. The first scene where you see what's happening, I knew exactly what was going on. I was like, "That's happening, isn't it?" And that's why I said that the porn scene from the beginning was significant, because it was clear that that's what was happening, you know?
So, I guess I'm the only one who's going to defend this film, because
I think you are.
While I don't consider it the greatest film ever made, obviously,
mm-hmm.
I think
it's bad.
Whoa! I think it's worth its 100 minutes or whatever it is, because it technically does say something, which is what you want a film to do.
What
right?
did you say? I didn't get that message. Please.
I mean, I mentioned it earlier with my introduction to the review about the slanted view on reality, in that people's nature is hard to find, and how this guy just wants to find those moments of truth, which is why the internet clips which open the film are relevant. I mean, yes, the audience that this movie is made for doesn't need the internet clips, because we all know what they look like.
No, that's not why I'm confused. This look of confusion that is on my face is the where you're getting that he's looking for truth. When was that information?
Truth, justice, the American way.
When did they parse that information to their audience? I didn't get that. That is what he's looking for on the internet.
Wait, no,
really?
Sorry, hold on. You're saying that Rob is looking for truth?
Right, these moments.
I'm seriously asking this question. Is that what you're saying?
He's not looking for truth in, like, the justice system truth. He's just looking for honesty.
I hear that, because he actually, I guess he actually said that to his counselor, that he enjoys the clips because they seem so genuine, as opposed to a lot of the things that, you know, he sees on TV. So, yeah.
No, yeah, and that's like one of the main things. Damian mentioned the principal, Michael Stuhlbarg. What I really enjoyed about this film is...
Here we go. No, it's a terrible
zone out. Right? And Douglas mentioned this. He compared it to a film, Elephant. And the thing about... The thing that I find, like, connected between those films isn't the story it tells, but as so much the emotion it conveys. Right?
The boredom. Emotion.
I don't quite get the emotion bit, but I agree with you that it's very much like Elephant in the way that it's filmed, in the way that it looks, and in the way that there are spaces. I just think that Elephant uses those spaces better.
I just think
than
you guys are looking back funny at Elephant.
Whatever, dude. Elephant uses those spaces better than this movie. But anyway, keep going. Keep going and don't listen to Damien, because I really would like to hear what you have to say about this. Because clearly you are the only positive person about this movie.
That emotion? No, you just said emotion campaign. I'm not sure what emotion you're talking about. And clearly you are. What emotion? Just tell me. I'm not trying to be a dick. I want to know what emotion I was supposed to be feeling.
You don't need to try, Damien. I mean,
fair enough.
The movie starts out with this character of Rob, who is just a regular person in this. A regular person in this boarding school.
Yeah, Rob the robot from Nintendo. What's wrong with you guys?
Who's Rob the robot?
This little thing that came with the NES, the robot thing.
I never got a robot.
We never got a robot.
Actually, I didn't even get the gun. I was so upset. We didn't get the gun with the Nintendo.
And of course, we couldn't get that game.
Exactly.
But it was all like, we can't have guns.
No, I remember.
Duck Hunt was the greatest.
I know Duck Hunt was the greatest. Tandy used to have Duck Hunt, and it was awesome. I remember we used to go up to the screen.
Still miss. Try to shoot that goddamn dog.
I remember I had watched a video explaining how they coded.
Yeah,
the
that
cons.
Was interesting. Something about the light and everything else being black, and yeah.
And I'm like, I remember that. That makes sense. I was talking about that after school. The movie starts out with the character of Rob, who is basically just a regular boarding school student who, like every teenage boy, which Damien mentions, has an obsession with porn and all sorts.
Lie by anybody.
All sorts of stuff.
That was not cool that his counselor told everybody, told his principal about that.
Oh, that wasn't cool. Oh, principal, turns out you have students that look at porn.
First of all.
And because of that, you know what? You're going to have to take a couple of weeks off of school.
First of all, the word is principal.
Second of all, clearly you are Jamaican.
The porn thing, whatever. And it becomes this romance film between between.
You didn't watch any free movie.
Hold on, let him make his argument, and then we cuss him to tears. All right. What are you saying there, Andrew?
Turned into romance.
In the beginning, it's pretty much a romance film of this guy and this girl who are doing this video project, and then the incident occurs where these two girls die, right? And then it becomes something that I kind of remember during the film of World's Greatest Dad, where the child kills himself, right? And the school basically becomes lovers of this dick. Right, and I mean, we never have that setup of the of these two girls' characters. I mean, we see them like maybe once or twice before they actually die on screen.
Well, I would actually say that you never see them. You hear about them. You know, for example, that they're a popular bunch of girls. Well, I shouldn't say bunch. They're
couple.
Popular girls.
Couple.
They do a lot of blow.
And
like all teenagers.
Like all teenagers. And you
we
know,
did blow.
And
did
you
we?
Know that Bob's sure. roommate Dave, not Bob, sorry, Rob's roommate Dave does not invite Rob to meet them because Rob is not cool enough.
Of course.
You know? So you know things about them, but I don't think you quite
like see.
No, I mean, you see them from a distance. You see them like in the in a classroom or in those morning meetings, auditoriums where Michael Sulberg is being a dick to the students, telling them about McDonald's will be hiring. Like, I'm sorry, that joke was hilarious.
Yes. Oh, you're still asleep? Oh, no, McDonald's will hire. That's good.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing.
Yes.
And then you have this incident where they die and the school all becomes, oh, we loved her. Or a student even goes so far as to say, I never knew her, but she looked really hot and I wish I could be her. And I think of movies like World's Greatest Dad where all the students like turn on them. And I remember listening to the Slash Filmcast when they reviewed that film, World's Greatest Dad. And I think it was Adam Quigley who talked about an incident that occurred at his school where something similar occurred, where a student who everyone hated died, and immediately everyone became very nice about that person.
That happens when anybody dies.
No, I know that, but at the same time, why would you do that? And
because you're supposed to, you shouldn't think ill of the dead.
I agree. However, don't say good things then. Just be quiet.
Also, just become dicks. Well, they were dicks.
Yeah. And from the way that you view these two girls from the beginning of the movie until they die, you don't, even though they don't definitely tell you they're bitches, from your knowledge of high school and how high school is and how high school movies are,
from
you just
knowledge of high school and blue.
You just know that these girls are probably
nice
the meanest, the meanest girls you've ever met in high school.
That's true, but I do blow with them.
You do blow with them. And
that's what mean girls are for.
Anyone that does blow is cool in my
and. I mean, how the school changed for these girls. Well, I don't mean change, because I don't think change is the right word, because as I said, you don't get the same setup as you did with World's Greatest Dad. It just felt very manufactured as a response.
I'm telling you that. You are extrapolating.
I am extrapolating, right?
And so that is a failure on the movie's part.
No, wait, what? Sorry. When you say manufacture, you're talking about responses to the death?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're saying that the movie doesn't tell you that?
No, the movie
doesn't. The movie doesn't need to tell you that.
Oh.
No. I think that that's a feeling that anybody who watches this movie will get, because I got that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I guess maybe I'm not a regular person.
Perfect note. I'm not a regular person.
Regular.
But I would assume that most people would have that sort of feeling that, you know, all of a sudden people love these girls. Because it's just, it's the type of thing you expect.
So, throughout the rest of this movie, after the death of these two girls, it becomes, like, as I said, the search for those true moments. Like, everyone is trying to be nice about the fact that these girls have died, even though
dirty,
it's completely...
They're not whores. They're drug addicts.
Dirty drug
whores. Even though it's completely their fault that they died... This child who has just happened to be there has no fault in how they died. They are just
blue and red boys.
They're just rich. They're just rich women, rich girls who decided to go and take cocaine, and they ended up getting a bad batch. Like,
is it just my TV fantasy spoiling me, or?
when I saw that, was the first thing that came to my head was, oh, they do that sometimes when they cut it up. Is that true, or is that like, I know I'm asking the right person with you,
right,
because you do this all the time. So is that true that they cut up the cocaine with rat poison sometimes, or is it just, you know, that TV tells me that?
They actually do. And it's getting worse. In Africa, they're I don't want to say anywhere specific because I know people are going to take this and generalize, which is always funny. But they actually cut up what is essentially cocaine, AIDS medication that they are stealing from the women that goes to the AIDS center, because men don't believe that they have AIDS. So they take it from women and they cut that with rat poison. And when I heard that report, I went, so let me get this straight. You already have coke and you have rat poison, and you feel it is necessary to take the AIDS medicine from the woman. They're like, oh, it's better.
No, but right. think about it. Seriously.
It
makes sense to me, because what they're doing is they're saying, listen, if you are a drug addict, you're probably going to have unprotected sex.
Right.
Therefore, you
they already
need,
have AIDS. It's
no, TV. You need AIDS medication to
that's
help.
Not, that's not how it works.
Help.
That's not how it works, though. I'm
right.
Sure. I'm no doctor.
Right, so I was talking about this movie. And I think I've drank too much beer.
Like, that's a different, anything different from any
what
other.
What are you talking about? What does that have to do with you? Did you drink beer while watching?
Right, so
there's no beer in there. Oh, is that your second beer? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, towards the second half of this movie, and I guess throughout, they have this technique of they have the static camera, and they don't bother to move with characters. They let the dialogue carry the scene regardless of what's in frame, and people walk into and out of focus. People are framed outside, and it creates this perspective of what you see really isn't important. It's what people say and how you interpret what they say based on their own perspective and what they will benefit from their their opinion of what's occurred, which is why the reality aspect of it, the truth of what people are trying to bring across, becomes important. And that's why I kind of like how this film put it together.
Alright. I was going to say this because I know it's something personal to me. It doesn't have that much to do with the film. But the real reason I don't like this movie and Elephant is because of the main characters in both movies. I've always had problems with these type of characters. People who literally have nothing to be mopey about, but seems to go around being that way, despite all the...
You know
nothing,
what I mean, man?
Nothing is there
hold
to
on,
support why they are behaving like...
Hold on, I'll say this for that argument. Is that, sure, okay, based on your perspective,
right,
they have nothing to complain about. But, hold on, let's not even talk about that. I'm pretty sure that there's somebody that's going to look at you and be like, that fucker has absolutely nothing to complain about. Why is he such an asshole? Why is he being so mopey about this, that, or the other? So there's always that argument from anywhere that you're looking.
Right. I've never understood that it's cool. What are you complaining? Like, you're going to leave there like a year. What is? And he's bitchy and mad at the world and all this shit for. I just don't. It is understood that they're these type of people. No one ever bothers to show us why they became these. They're just mopey teenagers that hate the world and nobody likes them. And he manages to con some girl into being his girlfriend, but wait, someone takes the girl and now he's bitter again. Dog, I've never met anybody like that. Have you ever met anybody like that?
I don't think so.
Oh, does this character actually exist?
Recently, I saw
there was this guy that came to the hotel, and he looked like what a I've got a person.
Did you tell you that you could retire in 9 months? Because I got that. I got that. Some crazy person in Juicy Beef was like, I will sell you something and you can retire in 6 to 9 months. It's like, okay.
He looked like what? Goth people are supposed to look like. He looks like, oh.
The stereotype.
Right, the stereotype. And it surprised me. I'm like, holy shit, there's people that actually look like that. But his behavior could not have been more different. Now, I don't know if it's because he was in Jamaica and was smoking ridiculous amounts of weed that he became this funny, chipper little fellow. But while his appearance looked like what goth people are supposed to look like, his attitude was completely different. And I've never met anybody like these type of people. People who just hate the world as far as I know, no reason. He's just bitchy and moody. And I don't get that. I don't like those characters. I don't think they're interesting to watch. And something terrible happened. And the movie just didn't endear itself. The movie was boring.
Alright, before you say anything else, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I have a really big question.
Sure.
You don't like this movie, right? I don't like this movie, okay. Right? Why are we still talking about this?
because
we've been talking about it for a long time.
Andre enjoys the movie.
For a really long time.
And he keeps bringing up things that I honestly didn't see anywhere in the movie. He's bringing up emotions and love stories. All this shit.
Well, why are we still talking about this? We could be talking about crazy questions.
That's true. Alright, so hate, what, dislike?
I don't like this movie.
Dislike.
And I would not recommend this to anybody, and I will not watch it again.
Alright, so I'm in the same boat. And Andrew enjoys.
I liked it.
Sure.
I think it had something to offer, which movies need to do more often.
Right, from one depressing movie to no depressing questions.
So
in a way.
This question Tom asks.
Question Tom.
No, it's. Did I tell you I've been drinking?
You speak like you're right.
This question from Tom asks, which movie
does the question ask or does Tom ask? All right,
Thomas. Which is most sexist movie? Not so old movies of the 80s or 90s, but of
sir.
After 2004.
Sexiest.
Wait, sorry. It's sexiest and not sexist.
Actually,
I believe that asking for sexiest movie makes them sexist. I'm just saying.
I don't care.
Let me try this again. Which is the most sexiest movie? Not so old movie of 80s or 90s. But after 04 to 05.
Wait. Stop. Ask me that one more time. Maybe I've had much to drink, but I need to just get those numbers correct.
Douglas, you really want me to try and say
please,
this again?
One more time. Yes.
So which funny. Is the most sexiest movie? Not so old movies of 80s or 90s, but of after 05, 09.
So he wants a sexy movie that
most
is the most sexiest movie that specifically was released in 04 or 05.
Not
80s and 90s.
Not 80s and 90s.
After
04, 05.
I'm having a problem with this timeline. Because is 05 after 80s and 90s? Is that how it works? Is that how time works?
That's really what gave me the issue that you don't just have to ask again. I was like, so what? Because he made it sound like it was like from the 80s and 90s, but then all of a sudden he said, no.
Not
80s,
not
90s. 04, 05.
Not 80s, not 90s. After 04, 05. All right, fine. Most sexiest movie. There's Bruno.
No. Bruno, really? I thought I was going to go with Borat.
No, he has. There's sexy time in Borat.
Exactly. There's sexy time, and he gets married to Pamela. Well, he tries to get married to Pamela Anderson.
Well, that's true.
So I mean, that in itself, there's sexy time there.
Right, what other sexy movies has come out since then? No.
Was there an alien movie recently?
Most sexiest movie. I'm trying to. I guess I don't watch that genre enough. I need to watch some more sexiest movies.
I know.
Neither of you wins.
Zero points.
Person wins. Delicious.
What are some movies on racism? Douglas.
Some movies on racism?
Yes, Douglas would know this.
Alright, well, there is...
The Lord of the Rings, because those arcs did nothing to those people. Nothing. Or just brutally attacked.
Isn't that species rather than racist?
No, their arcs is a race.
I'm pretty sure Smurfs is a racist movie. I'm just saying, you know, not only are they blue people, but they're blue tiny people. And you know how people don't like midgets already.
Well, they are the race of midgets from Munchkinland.
I mean, can you believe when you have movies where people are like just laughing about filming midgets? No. What the fuck? No.
0 points.
In Bruges. Wow. That is also extremely racist.
0 points.
Oh, that's good racism.
Zero. Can I see an R-rated movie?
No! You're not old enough! Stop it! Don't ask me that again!
I think Douglas was worse from years of trauma.
I don't know if I can put that in the podcast.
Oh, wait, is it too loud? I'm sorry.
I've destroyed the levels. People swearing at their headphones.
They're like, no! What's wrong with
this? Amen.
Can you see Ari? Well, if you're on Yahoo Answers, so clearly you're on Yahoo Answers. So that's just no. You're clearly retarded. You should go back to your padded room. And go back to reading your vampire books. It's too late.
So, yeah. 0 points all around.
No,
Damien wins. Damien has won.
Nope.
But I'm gonna, I'm going to leave this question with the audience because I'm not going to give you guys this question. This is too easy, right? What do you think the Inception prequel would be about?
Oh, shit.
So email in. Email in at andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com and we'll read your responses. Send us audio bits. And we'll find out what's going on. But Damien won the questions contest today, so he has to do the outro.
Oh, did I win? I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying, right?
No, you got a point earlier for Top Gun. You got a point earlier for Top Gun.
I'm disqualified that point.
I'm pretty sure, by the way, I should have gotten at least a half a point for the R-rated answer.
You worked through a lot of trauma.
I'm sorry.
That's therapy.
Alright, Damien, you're fusing, so... thanks for listening to the podcast. You can find it if you're listening to it, you probably have, at Gman Reviews.
Are we on Stitcher Radio?
Well, yes, we are, and you can phone us. Our number is 8675309.
Douglas just made that one up. But yeah. But yeah, GmanReviews.com or on iTunes or the Podcast Alley. I'm on Twitter at Gman Reviews. You can also like the website on Facebook.com/GmanReviews.
Facebook is losing users, son. It's almost over.
To whom?
It's almost over.
Who are they losing it to?
They're bored as shit people. I just can't see.
Douglas is DJR lost his name on Twitter.
DJR lost his name.
He pretends to write for other websites, but he fails.
That's a lie.
Damian is nowhere to be found. You can only hear him on this podcast. You know, it's an exclusive.
No. Technically, Damian is on Google Buzz. His name is Damian White. Find him.
Have I ever posted anything?
I don't know. But otherwise, I'd just like to thank you for putting up with our near 2 hours of rambling.
I was following someone on Buzz, but it's clear that he's just posting articles to his website because there's like a billion of them.
So but I thought you
said... So yeah, thank you and good night.
I have no idea.